English as tuppence and changing, yet changeless as canal water, armoured and defeat. Nestling in green nowhere, Miss Have a Shambling Feudal Still, Upsimeth and Eremite, produced by Balin Leonard. Now, you know, what is the one thing everyone knows about the show? We don't have guests.
No, never. They never.
They weren't as good as us.
Well, some of them just like to take a nap for 20 minutes when they came in to see us.
Not only that, they think it's they're here to, appear, not work. But every now and then we knock the socks off the audience. And today I'm happy to say, with our usual fanfare, David Cassidy is in the studio right opposite us. David Cassidy.
Indeed.
I'm very flattered.
Welcome to BBC London.
Thank you.
A woman from New Jersey produced by a fella from Tennessee. That's about it.
Let me tell you something about Tennessee.
Oh, he'll tell you something.
He'll tell you.
He's just been back home. David, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and fumble through notes. We don't have guests. And about a month ago, they said, but David Cassidy's in town. I said, oh, yeah. And then a date like that doesn't just roll around. It leaps right out of you.
It does, doesn't it, though?
And you're on tour.
I am actually doing three shows. One on Friday night in Glasgow at the Clyde.
Uh-huh.
And Saturday night in Manchester at the Apollo. And Sunday night, perhaps my very last show of all. Maybe ever.
Come on, don't retire like David Bowie did.
No. 14 times. 14 times.
Can I just say,
that's why I didn't say this is a farewell tour.
Terrific.
I can't stand acts that come in and go, Tina Turner, let's see. Yeah. George Michael, David Bowie three times.
Sinatra at least a dozen. Yeah. It's quite fun, though. The emotional rush. I know from giving up radio at least three times. The emotional rush of saying, do you know what, everyone?
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I want to be alone.
I did it in 74.
I'm not lying.
Yeah. I said, this is it. I didn't come back until 1985. That's 11 years later.
Not to the tour anymore, but you were certainly in the show business.
Yeah, but yeah. I was out completely, did not do one thing for 3.5 years.
What did you do in that 3.5 years?
Not a lot.
Really? You're okay, just that?
Not a lot.
Just hung around like Brian Wilson, did you?
I hung around with Brian Wilson, which was one of my first mistakes. No, I love Brian. I actually wrote a song with him and spent some very, very dark nights with him.
Oh, really long? But that's something now. We're not going to pry, but we're going to say, though, that not many of us, if you're going to lose part of your life, and people say, who do you want to lose it with? Brian Wilson?
John Lennon.
Lennon as well. Was
it Harry Nilsson?
Oh, man.
Jimmy Webb.
You were party to that party?
Very much so.
Really? And a few Brandy Alexanders and all of that sort of thing.
Brandy Alexander wouldn't even be an appetizer, mate. Not even a aperitif.
Whoa, okay.
Oh, no.
Was that a reaction against the...
No. I had nothing to do. Oh. And RCA gave me a fortune to just go and record.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have to go on tour. And I didn't have to go to work. I had basically retired, and I just sat with my friends and wrote songs. And one of them was Brian, Jerry Beckley from America.
Uh-huh.
Harry and I worked in the studio. We were both on RCA together.
Sure, yeah. He must have been making like Pussycats and albums like that with Lennon around that time.
Well, the two of them got... See, I went to the studio once with John when he was making the rock and roll album, and that's when he had left...
The May Pang weekend.
Yeah, it was a little longer than that.
He calls it his lost weekend, though.
It was his lost weekend. Yeah. And can I tell you something? It was... Well, I had a great time with him. And I was also with him before and after. Uh-huh. And with Yoko. And I loved Yoko. I thought, he loved her, like...
It's extraordinary to think Yoko's, 74 or something now. She's come through it. Now everyone's saying, oh, we always liked Yoko.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that.
Really?
There's a lot of that going on.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Well, she has integrity.
She's good for business as well. She's terrific as a...
She took care of him. He was broke.
Yeah.
Literally.
Oh, I know, when he's making rock and roll, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he made rock and roll, of course.
One of the reasons. And then the Double Fantasy. But she... She did so much for him, and I never liked to listen to her sing.
No.
But she's an artist, and I respected that, and she's extremely intelligent.
Yeah.
But John was just an amazing guy, and I'm going to sing, the last song I sing is going to be a song that he wrote. I'm going to do it Sunday night. I hope it's not the last song I ever sing here for my fans, but We just put 200 tickets on sale.
Oh, man. And are you going to tell us the song you're going to sing?
No.
Oh.
No. If I do, then everybody's going to know how to end it, and then there's no drama, and there's no theater in it.
Is it Dream Number 9, or the Arbo Akawa Pussier Pussier, whatever the
number
word you
nine.
Might Number 9. Number oh, there nine. You see. I've heard you at Woodstock. So why did you, I mean, the first time around, was it just you were sick of it? You thought,
well,
you know
no,
what?
You should have really been there. And as John once said, you should have been there. No, it was so insane. The last show I did, I forget the name of the big soccer venue in Glasgow.
And then Hampden Park.
Hampden Park.
Yeah.
Oh. I did Hampden Park.
Wow, that is a big gig. Hampden.
That's How about
big...
White City Stadium?
Yeah.
And then I did Main Road.
Yeah, yeah.
So Main Road was the last show.
Uh-huh.
And it was...
Whew. Yeah.
And I did It's All Over Now, Baby Blue is my last song.
Oh, okay. Right. And
15 verses of it, and I couldn't remember half of them. And I had to have somebody stand there and read. But I wanted to sing it. Yeah. And it's all over now, baby. What's that lyric? Blue.
The young girls with the scarves on their wrists saying, what's this one?
I had a helicopter right behind the stage, mm-hmm. and I remember pulling away and thinking, I wonder if I'll ever do it again.
Yeah.
And it was such a great ride. But coming back, you know, I didn't work here for 11 years. I came back and I wrote an album, a single, Last Kiss, which was a big hit in 85.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't come back and tour until 2001. So it's been years and years and years. And I've toured here 3 times since. And it's been amazing. I'm playing my 3 favorite venues, really and truly.
That's we'll do all the dates, but hit those hard with the phone numbers right at the end.
That's fine.
If there's a need to.
Well, we just put 200 in each place.
So, you were saying you came over in 2001, but they're doing... you obviously get a lot of things come by you saying, I'll do this, I won't do that. How often do you get, like, just, I don't know, go back into something like Barnum and all of that, or doesn't that interest you anymore?
No. I did 2,000 shows in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
I rewrote EFX after Michael Crawford left, which was, unfortunately for him, it was a disaster. And
what was a disaster?
AFX.
Oh, AFX, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was a disaster. And I just rewrote it, did the whole thing, and brought my brother in. I brought Sue Schifrin, who happens to be my wife, and Andrew Gold.
Oh, okay.
My brother Sean.
Does that work, by the way? One of the things we're talking about today, because he's kind of family and he's producing the show now. Does it work?
No.
No, it doesn't work.
Of course not.
No,
absolutely not. No. It's
very good to say so.
It's absolutely ridiculous to try and do it, and which is why we don't do it anymore.
No, I can imagine.
We did it before we were making children, and you know, but no.
I can imagine.
You hang out in the room, and suddenly, you know, especially with her personality and mine, which is... I've never been the kind of writer that goes, no, it's my idea.
Yeah.
You know, but somehow or another, it bleeds over after you get out of the studio and you walk into the kitchen.
Ah.
It doesn't.
No, you can't.
You can't do it.
I can't imagine it would be like that.
No, it just doesn't work. She's great.
And as I say, as long as you realize that and said, you know what, this is, because a lot of people would have took it to a terrible extreme. And
well, I think people have in the past.
Yeah.
You know, marriages of any kind are difficult at best. Mm. And I'm not just talking about marriage with the opposite sex or with the same sex. I'm talking about writers who write together.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very difficult thing in business. When you have a marriage, one is a creative, one is it's difficult.
You know what? Two words here: Abbott Costello.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
That's about it.
Lennon and McCartney. Hello.
When you think extraordinarily between 1966, it was only 7 years, 62 to 69.
The greatest songwriting team of all time by far. And once it ended, they both, to me, they pushed each other. They made each other greater.
Lennon gets all the, quite rightly as well, all the credit.
McCartney wrote some unbelievable songs.
You don't need to pick between them any more than the Stones and the Beatles. But the idea that Paul's first album is only now people are saying, you know what, talk about your...
That was a great
beautiful
album.
Lo-fi, yeah, beautiful.
Oh.
Junk and all stuff like that, absolutely terrific.
Unbelievable. And, you know, I think what happened, and because I got to know. I got to know them all, uh-huh. not well. Now, George, I met him a couple times. Mm-hmm. So got to know Ringo okay, and I actually played once with McCartney right before he did Wings Over America, and got to know him a little bit. And you know, he was great with me. I always thought he was one of the greatest singers, songwriters. But John had. He had this depth and this incredible poetry about him, and everything he felt as a man, he spoke. And I never met another human being who devoted his entire life and was willing to give everything up for what he believed in, which was peace, love. All you need is...
And even the 5 years when people said, come on, like the song Watching the Wheel says.
That's
said,
it.
Come on, you must miss it. Not really, no.
Not really. Not really. I want to be a house husband.
Yeah.
He and I sat down and talked after I came back from this world tour. And I heard when I heard him say on the radio, I called up a mutual friend of mine. He said on the radio, he said, I don't know what it's like. I don't really care anymore. He said, go ask David Cassidy. I thought,
did he?
He said, yeah. Yeah, he said, you know, when they were asking him, like they do about me, about what this experience was like in the 60s.
It was
in the middle 70s, and they hadn't toured since 65.
It is. It does. I mean, it doesn't for you, but it does require, you know, TV documentaries when they run through pop culture in the early 70s. There is nothing like it in terms of the...
Nothing like it anymore.
Nothing like it. Now, when you see Wembley Stadium entirely besieged by pretty much 97,000, you know, young gals.
Yeah.
And the coaches arriving, like you said, the helicopters... Because you know, it's
madness.
You see reruns of shows on TV, but you don't get that you don't get that mania. Real, everything is called mania now, but that genuine mania.
Well, mania really happened because the innocence was still there. There was no video, there was no internet, there was no way when nobody had a cell phone. There was no way you could sit and watch when MTV came along in the United States. You could go out and then buy a video, and you could put it in, and you could watch the same artist over and over and over again. And suddenly, the audience was not sophisticated. You know, so when you actually, you had to sit in front of a television and watch someone. And the only reference you had to them were posters, reading about them in magazines.
Well, the investment in the poster was huge.
Huge.
Even the silk scarf on the wrist.
There you go.
There's your token.
There you go. The David Cassidy Puka Show.
Who was the closest you've ever had to like an absolute...
Beatles.
In your year, really?
Beatles.
Been, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah. I was 13. Oh, the next day after I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show, which is when they made their debut, they walked off the plane at JFK, and that's a very famous shot in America with the four of them walking off the BOAC flight.
Uh-huh.
And I saw them on the Ed Sullivan Show, and the next day I went out and bought an electric guitar.
Oh, yeah?
And I was a gigantic fan. And I told both John and I got drunk one night at my house. In Encino. He came over on New Year's Eve 1974-5. He was making I think it was around the same time as making the rock and roll. Might have been before. Yeah, I think it was before the rock and roll album. But he was starting to lose it. And it was New Year's Eve, and I had taken some stupid... I'd finished the tour.
Yeah, yeah.
And had taken some stupid amount of tequila.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he had come with a friend in a limo because he was drunk as a skunk.
Yeah.
We went into my music room, and we started singing songs.
Yeah.
And I still remembered most of, and I'm talking now, this is 10, 12 years after he wrote... Some of the early Meet the Beatles was the first album in America. I don't know what they were here.
So he's playing the
So we started. I started playing, and I got to sing Paul's parts. But this is, hey, you guys, hi. I love that one. It's great. Yeah. Anyway, I can't really remember it very well.
Did you run any tape on any of that?
No. All we had were cassettes in those days.
Even like one of the last performances he gave at the Madison Square Garden with the Elton John thing when Elton comes on stage, his mic isn't up. I don't know if you've ever heard it, and playing it isn't intentional from Elton. He wouldn't have done that. But you can barely hear him on it. And talk about your lost moments.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If I put all the moments that I've had, Elton came on stage and played with me once back years ago. Well, I can't remember the year, but it was when I was at my peak, and he was about to become part of his peak in the mid-70s.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of magical for me and for him, I guess for him, I don't know.
Do you know Elton John once, in 74, I think it is, and maybe 75 too, was responsible for 2%
of the
all
record
the records
sales.
In the world,
yeah.
Including jazz, including classical, including everything.
That's correct.
correct.
That is something.
That is correct.
2%. And then right. People wonder why, you know, he has a diamond-studded swimming pool.
Yeah. 2%. Hello.
And that's when these records sold.
I met him before anybody recognized him, before your song was a hit. And I went to see Dan Hicks in the Hot Licks.
Hey, I've got plenty of them.
Oh, Milkshake and Mama?
Oh, everything.
I love that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Love
you
that.
Me as Kettler, anyway.
Oh, well, man. I love that.
You know, the audience have just all sat up and said, never mind your John Lennon stories.
Yeah, let's hear Dan Hicks.
Give us what you got on Hicks. But anyway, so you met John
we met, had dinner, and then we went there, and the whole audience was like, oh, I was signing on there, taking pictures. He's sitting right next to me, and nobody knows who he is. Nobody said, hello, who is this?
Yeah.
And I could feel his anger. I could feel his... But he is very... Understand, at that time, he was very hungry.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was about to explode. And I knew I could feel it. I just could feel him being like, you have no idea what I'm about to do.
Yeah.
You know, well, not towards me.
No, of course, let's hope not.
Not towards
but
me.
I took over his old job in first job I ever had in a record store while we're swapping Elton John stories. Ain't
yeah.
Leap in anytime.
I have no idea.
So,
you haven't said a word for God's sake.
No, I haven't had a chance.
I'm one of you were carefully prepared.
I'm interested in all the touring that you did with other bands, as sort of Bay City Rollers and the Osmonds.
We did that a few years ago, and that was, well, first of all, I you have to forgive me, but I was never. And never, I only heard one Bay City Rollers song. They were big for about a minute in the United States.
In that minute, they earned like $1 billion, and they never saw that either. So,
well, of course,
I never saw a shilling. I saw the lead singer the other day. I bought some laces off him. Yeah, and it's one of the great tragedies of stuff.
Well, now, there are many.
Yeah, but
by the way,
they did okay.
He was just the lead singer.
Yeah.
He was on tour.
Yeah,
very nice guy when he was not. Somewhat intoxicated.
Yes, they're easy for it, yeah.
Yeah, but being around, you know, as a professional, it's very difficult to be around someone who is absolutely blitzed out of his mind when you're about to go on stage.
Well, you didn't get that with the Osmonds, though, did
you? No. And can I tell you something? Incredibly talented guys. I really liked them. A lot of people thought there was the big competition. For me, there was never. I don't feel competitive with anybody. I'm just not that guy. And by the way, if you become the biggest act in the world, what's the point? Good luck to you. I'm happy that you're selling a gazillion.
But it can't. I mean, you know, there's a kind of... parallel.
Oh, no, there are parallels.
What happened with you musically and what happened to the Monkees? Because, you know,
right,
Mike Nesmith and Peter talked to him and saying, this isn't what we do. It's just, you know,
right.
we're happy
right.
for the gig.
No, it's happy. We're happy to have the gig.
Yeah.
And by the way, Mike Nesmith's mother, you know the story. Whiteout.
Whiteout.
Thank you.
Do you know
a billion dollars later, he's not that concerned about his record career.
No, he's, that's why he puts out those bizarre box sets. It's something else you must know about his house. The house he grew up in, was kind of eccentric. I think his dad, in his families were inventors. And for a while, they had like those Star Trek doors on their house that were operated by a word, and it would be a word of the day.
No.
And he says that for a couple of months in his house, the word love activated the doors, which is lovely, except if you just had an argument with your wife and you got to leave the room and you have to go, love.
Love!
Yes, he did. He had voice-activated doors in his house.
Oh, that's amazing.
Well done, Mike Nesmith.
Oh, well
so
done.
So let's come back to this, these three dates and stuff. And you're teasing everyone. You're saying, this may be it. Why would you do that? Why would you walk away again?
I'm not walking away. I'm going to work and... The amount of work I have to do in New York. I did, I don't know how many shows and thought, I can't go back on tour. I'm going to Los Angeles to do a television series. My son is moving there. My whole family is there. It's become excruciating for me to tour outside of the United States, to be away. I lose touch with the world. When you go on tour or you leave the country for a week... You have no idea because you're doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And as much as I love it and I love to play, I just can't any longer justify working as much. my family is way too important. I spent so much time devoting it to my career.
Well, Nick, look,
and I love I love to play.
We've got like 2 minutes. I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. But
it's okay.
How has your dressing room changed for how it would have been 20 years ago to, or 30 years ago, how it is now? I mean, do you have, is it just...
It's much more elaborate now.
I'd have thought so.
Now.
Now it's more elaborate.
Because I have fruit. And before, my dressing rooms were usually
Jack Daniels and
No.
You know, afterwards, you had to entertain people. Come around
up,
you
up in my suite, maybe.
Oh, I think I did 1 week in the Rocky Horror Show. I think I'm in show business.
Yeah, there you go.
Are you going to be doing any more stuff on stage, David?
I don't think so.
No.
I think television is probably where I'm going, and we're making videos. I have to recreate a fictitious pop act from the 80s, and I wear big hair. In the contemporary sense, I look in the show more or less like I do now.
Yeah.
But we had a huge... It's a satire, and it's hysterically funny. My brother Patrick, my brother Sean, myself, and my brother Ryan.
Who's making that? Is it HBO?
ABC.
Oh, ABC.
What is it called?
Oh, it's Big Time.
Yeah.
They've ordered 4 scripts. We're on our way in the new year, and we just finished it Saturday night. The network said it's great.
I can't understand that. So you're thinking, well, you know, of course. It's nothing to do personal on a one-on-one basis, but you think, oh, I'm in Glasgow and I've got to be away and I've got to be away.
Well, yeah, I can't. Yeah. I've done it now for 38 years and I love it. But touring outside the United States, even that, touring around the U.S., it's kicked my butt all over the place.
You know what it would be tomorrow morning now in the papers? Cassidy slams Britain.
No, please. The reason I'm here is for my
band.
Yeah.
Come on.
You got to love him while he's here.
I don't.
Yeah.
The Apollo at Hammersmith on Sunday night.
It's the 16th of November. November, so that is Sunday night.
It is.
Hammersmith Apollo. I'll give you the number to book your tickets because you said you just released an extra 200 tickets.
Great seats, too.
So the number is 020-8563-3800. That's 020-8563-3800.
Okay.
And love him while he's here.
And the set will take in everything from Daydreamer to the complete Hot Rats.
From day one.
From Zappa.
From the time I was 13, when I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand. And what did they do? Love Me Too? Yeah, they did Love Me Too as well, yeah.
Well, there it is, and it's returning to the...
Well, that's how it started for me, but it's a musical journey through my whole life. And
a new producer's from Tennessee out there, and he doesn't know how to say, that's enough time.
There's the wrap it up thing.
With the headlines at 4:30, I'm Jonathan Lamb.
Welcome back. He has been called the original pop idol. He has sold 25 million records worldwide. David Cassidy is back in the UK to perform 3 very special concerts. His adoring and loyal fans.
Yes, this UK tour, though, made even more special as it could be David's last, because he's heading back to the USA, to the West Coast, to focus on a new TV show. David's here to tell us more. Morning, David.
Morning.
Morning.
Nice to see you.
First, let's remind ourselves of some of your greatest moments.
I'm just a daydreamer. I'm walking in the rain, chasing after rainbows I may never find again. I can never forget your face. This is the last kiss. Can't get used to it. Won't get used to it. Maybe I'm just
I can't watch myself. Well, it's so wonderful. That, I think, was either shot at Wembley or it was shot the last tour I did 2-3 years ago. I did not want, and I can't stand artists who say, this is my farewell tour. It seems very disingenuous to me, and I never wanted to say that. I booked these three dates because they're my three favorite venues I've ever played. The Clyde Auditorium in Glasgow on Friday, the Manchester Apollo, and the Hammersmith Apollo. And we've just released 200 tickets that we'd held on to. And I had the fans on my website, I let them know. So if people weren't aware that I was doing this, it was really just, it's me giving back to my fans. I am, in fact, my life is dramatically changing. And I've tried to cut down on doing shows and touring and stuff. It's been such an amazing journey. And my relationship with my fans here has been so extraordinary and so different, because I didn't come here for a decade. I didn't do a tour for 11 years, and then I didn't come back for 16 years. I didn't do television. I did over 2,000 shows in Las Vegas, writing and producing, two Broadway shows. And my fans have been so remarkably loyal, and just the show you just saw was probably either from the Clyde, where we did a DVD, or that was just footage.
So you need to get this straight.
Mm. Yes.
Is this or isn't this the last tour?
I never say never, but chances are, you know, if it were 16 years, I'm not so sure in 16 years I'll still be doing this.
And you're banking, basically, because it's the TV series, really, in America that's taking you back.
Well, that, and my son is also graduating from high school, and he's, I think, going to go to UCLA, which is where I grew up. All of my family is in Los Angeles. I moved from Las Vegas to Fort Lauderdale, and I guess I'm not a Hollywood guy. Never have been. And the only reason I would move back, my brothers, Sean, Patrick, and Ryan, and I are as close as four brothers could ever be. And I would never do another television series, move back to L.A., unless it was with them. The show that we just did, that we are now in the process of writing and developing the next episodes, is the best thing I've ever done. It's called Ruby and the Rockets.
Right. And you've already done, what, a whole series?
No, we started doing the pilot. We finished 10 days ago, and then I went and did 9 shows at Epcot. And in this next 6 days, I will be here. And, you know, I love this country.
You're going to the Isle of Wight?
Tomorrow.
It was for a special event.
Well, on the website, I had a select group of, like, people doing a meet and greet, which I didn't do for long periods of time, but since it's probably going to be the last time, and the response from people on the website was so overwhelming, obviously I can't shake 3,000 people's hands and chit-chat after a show or before a show. So I have an opportunity tomorrow to sit, and I'm going to play a couple of acoustic songs, but basically have a whole day with...
The Isle of Wight's an unusual location to choose. I suppose you have to be dedicated, a little bit more dedicated than usual to get there, because you've got to get across the solar.
Yes, we do, and I've never been.
Okay.
But I thought it'd be a nice opportunity, because there's not a lot of madness. It's a very serious one-on-one. I'll get to know them, they'll get to know me. They know a lot more about me than I do about them. So, anyway, my wish and my hope is that the three dates I do here will be, because I've done so many memorable shows from back in the 70s and through the 80s with Last Kiss. I asked the fans to go online, tell me the songs they wanted, knowing I was going to do How Can I Be Sure and Could It Be Forever and, you know, Cherish and I Think I Love You. They gave up with some really interesting songs that were on a lot of my earlier albums. I mean, I've made 24 albums, and it's been a remarkable journey. I love the people that have been here for me.
Yeah. I suppose Sean's just transfixed by sitting
there. Oh, stop.
Sorry.
Come on now. You must remember this.
Anyway, I'll just go now.
Oh, come on.
You were talking about how you didn't come back for ages, and yet the fans were all there, and it's because you represent a moment, a very exciting moment in their lives. Doesn't he?
I would hope more than one.
Don't you think? His poster was...
It was, yes. But, I mean, that was sort of around the time it was the Partridge Family, and then it was the albums. And,
yeah.
And you say you didn't come over here for a while. You must have known what was going on in terms of the support that you had.
I've always had, you know, fan mail and so forth. But the Internet has allowed us to now become much more... You know, you can be much more one-on-one with your fans, and I'm somebody who doesn't, I'm not, technologically, I'm very much impaired. I don't do a lot of work on the net. I don't have the time and energy, and fortunately for me, because I don't do that many things well. I do this part
well. You obviously sing
well.
Yeah. Well,
and that, just do singing.
And you do the acting well.
Yes.
Well, we
That's
hope you do changing your mind well, because we all want you to come back and do another tour.
I'd love to someday, right. And if I can, no, I will. I just didn't want to say, this is my farewell tour.
Good.
You know, better come and get me now. But
that's good.
Yeah, I love you guys, and I want to just say to all of you out there that have been such an amazing part of my life, God bless you. I love you, and come and celebrate with me this weekend.
Great stuff. David, thank you
very much. Nice to see you.
Great
to
see you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
Great to meet you.
Yes.
That's it.
Listen, it's too late, mate.
That's it.
Okay.
No, it's over. Goodbye. We'll see you tomorrow. Now just carry on. Go on, do you. Go on. Do